Yay! All right. And this third Sunday of Lent, we're so pleased that you have chosen to worship with us here today. And I pray that you and your family, all your loved ones, neighbors and friends, co-workers, schoolmates, will all sense the glory of God as we partake of this world and as we enter into this time of hearing his word, that our hearts will be moved, that our ears will be open, our hearts will be changed, and because of that, our lives too will be changed. I am using a familiar passage of scripture this morning, the crucifixion of Jesus, and it's recorded in all of the gospels, of course, but in just the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is a key verse, and it's the very first verse in all of those synoptic gospels, excluding John, about a man who helped Jesus. And that's where we're going to focus today, and I pray that you will open your hearts to hear about the man that we're going to talk about. So, we are, of course, in the third Sunday of Lent. This period of Lent is something that is a 40-day period, beginning on Ash Wednesday, going through a Holy Week, excluding Sundays, a time of penance, a time of self-denial, a time to draw nearer to the Lord. And so as we contemplate that and as we continue through this journey, we have been focusing upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And so as we come to this time, we are mindful that a death sentence has been pronounced upon Jesus. This death sentence, we are told, started off with Jesus carrying his own cross. And we know that when people were sentenced in this way to death, that they were asked to carry a beam of the cross. Anyone want to venture a guess as to how much that weighed? Anyone know or heard of that before? Okay. Well, scholars believe that it could have weighed, now just as one of the beams perhaps, maybe not both, but one of those beams, if it's not the full cross, is about 40 pounds. Okay, so Jesus was starting off to carry his own cross, and this was customary for those who had been sentenced to death by crucifixion to carry their own cross as part of the punishment. But as we know about the story of Jesus, how he was flogged ahead of time, he was beaten, he was spat upon, he was bruised, as the scriptures say, for our sins. He was weakened to the point physically that he was going to collapse. And so, so we learn from this scripture, the scripture, very beginning of a scripture today, as they were going out, they met a man named Cyrene, a man from Cyrene named Simon, and he was forced to carry the cross. Some scripture translations say that he was compelled to carry the cross. Compelled to carry the cross. He didn't have a choice. He was compelled to carry the cross. He was done so. If you look at a dictionary definition of the word compelled, it can mean that it was done out of a sense of duty. We don't see that here. He was compelled to do it by someone else. He was picked out of the crowd and said, "You are going to carry the cross of Jesus." He was forced into doing it by someone who was in higher authority to him. And this was not uncommon for the day either. Someone who was to carry precious cargo or deliver some kind of a special correspondence was often commandeered. They were asked to do something on behalf of someone else or told that they were going to do it. This was the case here for Simon from Cyrene. It was clear that he was carrying something that was precious. It may not have appeared that way. And as you look from the outside and not knowing the full story, you can say, how can you say this was such a precious piece of cargo that he carried? But it was clear that the cross demanded some type of a change in his life. that because he was picked out of the crowd, because he was told, you will carry this cross, his life was changed. Not just for a moment, but for the rest of his life. It demanded a change of direction, and it demanded a change of devotion. We're going to see that play out as we look at this scripture. Now, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 21, the same account of this scripture, here in his gospel, we see that Simon was coming out of his country, somewhere near Africa, north of Egypt, right around in that area where he was coming. He was most likely a Jew. He was probably coming to Jerusalem because, of course, it was the Passover feast, and he was coming there to participate in that. But because he was there, his life would take a new direction. His life would change in his devotion. So from that point on, Simon the Cyrene, he traveled in a new and different direction. His direction was now to Calvary. This was not only a physical turning point for him, but it was a spiritual point for him. If you're a note taker or someone who likes to remember some key points and messages, here comes one for you. No one can bear the cross of Jesus Christ without experiencing revolutionary change. No one can bear the cross of Jesus Christ without experiencing revolutionary change. When you encounter Jesus, when you accept to carry his cross, you are going to be changed spiritually, physically, because of that encounter. So remember, it was Jesus himself who said these words: if anyone desires to come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. So there is, in this season of Lent, the idea of self-denial. People give up something. People put aside something. Not just for the sake of putting it aside or giving it up, because they want to draw nearer to Jesus. They want to be closer to him. So it was Jesus who said, if anyone comes after me, that is, if anybody follows me, they must deny themselves, they must take up the cross, and they must follow me daily. Again, for you note takers, another point coming up here. Bearing the cross of Christ also means, and always means, saying no to the self. No to the self and yes to Christ. That is self-denial. Saying no to the self and yes to Christ. Self-denial. So it's a change of direction. It also is a change of devotion. A change of devotion. Luke chapter 23, verse 26 records, again, this same account of Scripture, just in a different gospel. It records that they laid the cross on Simon that he might bear it after Jesus. So Simon is now going to bear the cross of Jesus. And he's going to follow Jesus. He's going to follow the crowd all the way till Golgotha, all the way to the hill of Calvary. He's going to now carry the cross for Jesus. This is very suggestive, if you just pause a moment and consider this. Because it is this very thing, the very essence of Christian discipleship and devotion, is that you and I are also asked to carry the cross. We as Christians, as Christ followers, are also asked to carry the cross, to deny the self, pick up the cross, and follow him. It's a change in devotion. It's a change in who we are. Jesus taught unless a person was willing to bear the cross and follow him, they could not be his disciple. That's in the Bible. Let's hear it. From Luke chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So it's pretty clear cut. If you're not willing to carry the cross, if you're not willing to be a Christ follower, carrying his cross and all that entails, then you cannot, you will not be a disciple, and you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. It requires that we have a desire, that we have discipline, and that we have devotion. That is commitment, that we're disciplined in order to carry that cross and all that it means. And so, as we think about that cross, we must ask ourselves this question and then apply it to our lives. As we contemplate this cross, we need to ask ourselves, are you willing? Are you willing to do whatever we have to do in order to carry that cross? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to change our direction? Are we willing to change course and chart a new course and follow Jesus instead of our own selfish desires? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to give our full devotion in all and every measure to Him and Him alone? So, we consider this about the cross. He was compelled to carry it. But we also think about the costliness of the cross. It costs something for us to carry it. Now, Simon, of course, literally felt the weight of the cross, physically carried the cross for Jesus Christ. He felt its curse, he felt its weight, he felt its pain. And even more so, he identified with its costliness. You know that there could be seen in the cross of Christ shame. The shame of the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. There is such a thing as shame in the cross. What does that mean? Shame is something that we feel, something that we use to cover up something that we have done that we don't want to expose. We don't want anybody to know about it. We want to cover it up. But to be identified with Jesus means that you have a life that is visible. And when people see that life, they're going to see something different about you, something unique about you. I've said since I came here that I want people to see First Baptist Church as different than all of the other churches. I want them to see that Christians actually live out. It doesn't matter to me the size of our congregation. What matters is the faithfulness and the obedience and carrying out that cross of Christ. And so Jesus endured the cross, but he scorned, that is, he rejected the shame of the cross. He refused to accept the shame of the cross. It is a reaction to exposure and vulnerability when we feel shame. We hide. When you're a little child, when you do something wrong, you can still see your little children and their heads bowed and they're kind of looking away because they've got caught doing something they know they weren't supposed to do. They become vulnerable. Simon was vulnerable on that Good Friday, wasn't he? He became vulnerable because everyone saw him. They witnessed him carrying the cross. To be identified with Jesus is to be open. Back in the 90s, the Minister's Council put out a book called The Stained Glass Fishbowl. It was a book that was written for clergy about their health of their marriage. And it was indicated in the book that, you know, your life is not your own. Your life is always going to be in a fishbowl. Well, what do we do with fishbowls? We're always looking at them. You know, what's going on in that fishbowl? What are those fish doing? And it was intended especially for younger clergy and younger married couples who were in the clergy, realizing that this is often what takes place. Our lives are open as Christians, as Christ followers. Everybody is looking at us, whether you realize it or not. They're listening to us and what we have to say and how we act. And so they see in us Jesus Christ. What does the scripture say, though, about shame? Here's what is recorded in John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's Jesus. Light has come into the world, but everyone loved the darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil, the scripture says. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light. Why? Because their deeds will be exposed. Everyone will see them. But whoever lives by the truth and comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done through God. So what we do in the light must not be for ourselves. It must be for God. And when we expose ourselves in that way, people see the light of God, and they are drawn to that light, much as a bug is drawn to light in the summertime. Friends, because you and I are Christ followers, because we've been asked to pick up the cross and deny ourselves and carry that cross daily and its burdens, we despise shame. We reject it. We refuse it. Just as Jesus said, scorning its shame, or that great old hymn that we like to sing about the old rugged cross, its shame and reproach we gladly bear. So we've talked about the shame of the cross. Let's look at the suffering of the cross. As I already mentioned, Simon the Cyrene, he bore the physical pain of carrying that cross. It must have been difficult for him, the weight of that cross. He was asked to do it physically. You and I are asked to bear that cross in a different way, and that way is spiritually. We are asked to carry that cross spiritually. The scripture says, "For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious to God." Okay, good. But hear about this. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:19 and following, "To this you were called. You were called to suffer and to endure. You were called to this because Christ suffered for you, leaving for you an example that you too should follow his steps." Suffer. You know, we hear in our news right now, people are suffering in our country. And I'm sure that there are some that literally are suffering. We talk about suffering the pain at the pump, and we're suffering because it cost us more to fill up our gas tanks. And I'm not getting political here. But as I think again, and I'm going to keep lifting this up, about the people that are suffering in Ukraine because of Putin's war, that's suffering. We can't identify with that kind of suffering. We have global servants that are going to the border each and every day to encounter refugees and do what they can to help. And so I want to remind all of us, in some small way, every little dollar, every little cent counts. Let's continue to donate to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, that we might give something and combine it with the resources of all of our brothers and sisters to help get aid to Ukraine in any way that we can. And if we can't do that, let's not forget to continue to keep them in our prayers, for they desperately need them. You see on the news every day how innocent people, innocent lives are being snuffed out for what seems to be a senseless cause over territory. The word suffering means that you bear weight. People in this world have bore weight for lots of different reasons. But we bear weight because we're sinful, because we're people of sorrow, because we are people that are sick. Jesus bore the sins of the world. Jesus took upon the sorrows of the world for you and for me and for the whole world. Jesus took upon them and he completed them and he did a complete atonement of those sins. That is, he paid the price for them that you and I could not pay. And so in that sense, in that regard, we can never bear that kind of a cross because we're incapable of being able to bear the cross in that way. Only one person could do it, and that was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
However, we can share in it. We can share in it spiritually. Mm-hmm. And we can share in it to the point of sacrificing our own desires and wants in order to help ease the suffering of others. Listen to this scripture from Paul. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul was wanting to identify more with the sufferings, to take them upon himself. He rejoiced in the sufferings of Jesus. He again rejected the shame of the cross and all that it had. One scholar has written that the Son of God suffered unto death, not that we might not suffer, but that our sufferings might be like his. Count it a joy when other people hurl all kinds of insults at you because of me, Jesus said. Count that a joy. The Son of God suffered unto death, not that we might not suffer, but that our sufferings might be like his. We're part of a fellowship that shares the sufferings of one another. That's what's so good about this church. We do that well.
Yes.
When somebody's in need, when someone is suffering, yes, when someone is grieving, when someone is hungry, when someone needs clothes, when someone needs a hand up, this church has always come to its aid, to that person, that family, that organization's aid, in some way that we are capable.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we share in the concern of the world. We share in the concern of our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. We share in the selfishness, or the sickness rather, and the sorrow of our brothers and sisters all throughout the world. And it is dying to our selfishness and living by the selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 4, verses 10 and following. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. I'm just going to pause there. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We carry around both the life and death of Jesus Christ so that we can reflect that to the world. We've looked at the shame of the cross. We've considered the suffering of the cross. Now let us turn our attention to the sacrifice of the cross. No doubt that if Simon carried that cross all the way from when he took it from Jesus, when he was told he had to carry it, he carried it along and the crowds were with him and he followed along all the way up to the hill of Calvary, Golgotha. No doubt that he hung around and observed the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And so the sacrifice of the cross means that we give ourselves in service. This is a key piece of who we are as a church as well, serving others. I mentioned it already. holding nothing back for the glory of God, holding nothing back, giving all we have for the glory of God. No demand. And remember, this was a demand. This wasn't an option. No demand will be too great for the believer who personally knows Jesus Christ as their Savior and means to be a bearer of the cross. Wherever he calls us, we will, like those first disciples, leave it all behind and follow him. Give all that we have of our heart, mind, soul, and strength because we love God and we love his people.
Yes, Lord.
So I ask you this morning, have you considered the cost of being a disciple? Have you considered the cost of bearing the cross of Jesus Christ in your personal life? Have you really contemplated what that means for you? We know very little about the subsequent life of this man named Simon from Cyrene. We don't know a whole lot about him. But what is disclosed is some instruction and some inspiration. We cannot bear the cross in vain. And there are the compensations of the cross. One thing that we learn from him in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 21, another account of this, which I've talked about a couple of times already, is he had two sons. Alexander, and I love this one. Sound like a good name for a dog, but Rufus. I love that name, Rufus. There's some great biblical names. This is one of them. Alexander and Rufus, they're mentioned. And elsewhere in Scripture, in the book of Romans, we hear about Alexander and Rufus. They're well known. They're well known not just in society, but they're well known in the church, in the synagogue. They're well known there. This says to me that Simon took home the cross. He took home the cross and he gave it to his children. He shared what it meant to him to carry the cross of Christ. He brought that home to his family, his sons. And today I would submit to you that the only answer that we have for our world is not found in any political party or any vaccine or anything at all, but it is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And so the power of the cross is what penetrates our society. The power of the cross is what penetrates our homes and our workplaces and our schools. This is what the power of the cross can do. And we need to share that. Those who are in authority, it brings stability and security in the home.
Yes.
And beyond that, then from the home and from the church and from our families, then we need to take that cross and we need to take that cross into the world. We need to bear that cross to those that are in the greatest need. Patty and I have gone back and forth here about her forthcoming trip to Hungary. And as her husband, I said, I don't want you to go. I don't think it's really a safe place for you to be right now.
Yes.
And then as a Christian,
yes,
she tells me I feel called to go there. Well, who am I to stand in her way?
Right.
Even though I really want to, you're going to go. And some others are going to go. And she's part of a wider family, and so if there's any issue with her going later in April, they'll say no. But until that time, she feels called to go and maybe perhaps help some of those on the border, very close to what's going on in our, or what we see on the news right now. You see, we go where there's great need. And in this sense, Simon, the Cyrene, he is lifted, he's elevated above John and Peter and James. Why? Because he didn't disappear when Jesus needed them. He didn't run and hide
yeah.
in the upper room for fear.
All right.
of worry about his own life. He was part of the crowd. He was there. He was walking with Jesus. He was walking along with him, and he was tapped for carrying the cross. He didn't forsake his master, leaving him to carry that cross alone. No way. He picked it up and he carried it when asked, when told.
Yes.
Jesus still calls us today to be cross bearers.
Yes, he does.
Jesus has always called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Not just when we feel like it. Not just when it benefits us. Not just when it's an opportunity for us to look good. But each and every day to carry that cross of Jesus Christ. We cannot adequately present a crucified Christ without a crucified life.
All right.
Write that down. We cannot adequately present a crucified Christ without a crucified life.
Yes.
And crucifixion, in terms of personal living, means that we will bear the cross.
Yes.
And accept its claims upon our lives. It's a big, big responsibility.
Yes, it is.
It's serious.
Yes.
And it's something that we cannot just overlook. He calls for us to be cross bearers. Let's not shrink from that responsibility, because we need to remember that Jesus took up that cross first. He carried it. That you and I might be pardoned from our sins. That we might have life abundant in this world. That we might be made alive in his spirit. Now he's asking us to share in the shame, to share in the suffering, to share in the sacrifice, in order that its redemptive power might be released in us to a world in need, and that it might be released through our lives to the world that we represent. Once we face that reality, we're left with really two choices. We can be cross bearers, or we can be cross deserters. We can be cross bearers, or we can be cross deserters. God gives us the grace to follow him. Simon the Cyrene took up his cross, the physical cross of Christ, and he carried it for a little while to the place where Jesus died for you, for me. He was compelled to do it. He was forced to do it. We have the option today to pick up that cross and follow along in order that we might be a blessing.
Amen.
And if you choose to accept it, your life will be transformed. Your life will be changed. The direction in which you live will be different. So I encourage you through God's word today, in this season of Lent, and as Christ followers and bearers of the cross, to deny yourself, to pick up his cross, and follow him daily. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn.